Vancouver. This is Arts on Air. I'm your host, Ira Nadell. Each week, we feature the ideas and stories of students and staff within the Faculty of Arts at the University of British Columbia. Tonight, members of the Players Club, the oldest club at UBC, celebrating almost 100 years of existence.
Lights slowly rise, Beatrice writes in her diary.
October 15th, 1918. Today I turned 21, and there was a party. Some would say small, but just right for me.
Sissy and Mary appear wearing party hats.
Happy birthday to you.
Welcome to the three wonderful members of the Players Club who are with us tonight. Would you mind introducing yourselves, and what do you do at the Players Club, each one of you?
My name is Carolyn Nakagawa, and I'm the president of the Players Club.
My name is Jason Dio. I am the artistic director for our production this term, as well as an exec on the Players Club.
My name is Keenan Johnston. I am the member liaison and one of the bookings reps for the Players Club, and also a frequent actor.
All right. Well, we're getting right to the center of it. You said the key word, actor. Carolyn, what is the Players Club?
The Players Club is the theater club on campus. It was founded in 1915, the same year as the university, because there was a strong sense that there needed to be a theater as a way of generating campus community. So we have the name from 1915, and it's come to mean different things in popular culture, but we still keep it because of the history, and we are a theater club.
Jason, do you like the name? Do you feel you're happy with that?
The name, definitely. I like it. I think it's definitely a great play on words. Sometimes it is misleading to people, like Carolyn said, based on pop culture, but it is part of the club's history, so I definitely would not change it.
And we have fun with it. Like, we can make jokes. It's great.
Of course, we can play it up whenever we want.
Yeah. Exactly. How long have you been involved, Keenan, with the Players Club? Since 1915?
No. Let me think. I first started, like, yeah, when I did my first few years at university, I auditioned for some of the plays at the Players Club. And then I believe it was last year when I did a lot of performing in a lot of their plays. It was in the fall of 2012. We did a play called Our Country's Good. And then the following spring, I was in Festival Dionysia, which is their spring production. And then after that year, I decided to become more involved with the club and actually help out.
Okay, so you used an interesting term, audition. Can't I just walk in and decide I want to pay $2, I believe, and or maybe it's more.
Five or ten.
Okay, five or ten, sorry. And become a member, or do I have to audition?
For membership, it's open to everybody. But to actually perform in the shows, yeah, you do have to audition like everyone else.
And we do give preference to members and UBC students who will become members when they get cast. But being a member is more than just being in the productions, because we do have events that are open to everyone. Being in a production and acting in it takes a lot of time, and a lot of people at UBC who are studying other things don't have that time to commit to productions, but they still want to be involved in theater. So another side of what we do that's really important is our events that people can come to when they have time and just drop in and have fun and enjoy theater with people.
Yeah. I'm a little confused, though, because my first impression was that the Players Club, which meets, I believe, every week or almost every week, okay, exists to do play readings, but now you're also talking about production. So, Jason, what's the difference?
So, really, we have play readings every other week, and that's sort of, we're not a typical club that has regular meetings, so our play readings are sort of a way to get all of our members into one room. And, you know, we do a theater-based activity. But the productions, we do one per term. So that is more the traditional theater side of things. And that's where all of the auditioning and actual acting and working on a production comes into play. And that is our main sense of, like, being an actual theater group. So there is that aspect as well as the traditional club aspect to the Players Club.
And when you do the production, is this relatively full scale? I mean, you have costumes, you have lighting changes. Where are these productions held?
We have the works. We have our costumes, our lighting, our sound. And the past few years, I believe, all of our productions have been in the Dorothy Somerset Studio. It's the Black Box Theater on campus. And yeah, we have like our technical people, we have our costume designers, our set designers, and we just go all out as much as we can, considering that everything is student-run and student-based.
So that leads to the question, how are the plays chosen, and who decides what you're going to do, first of all, in the readings, which is category A, we might say, and then the productions, which is category B?
Well, for the readings, we read 6 plays a term, generally, and that's pretty open because it's fairly flexible what we can do. We just put things, we put a script on a projector. You can find a lot of scripts online, so it's easy to do that. I pick some, other execs suggest them. If we get suggestions from other members, we incorporate those as well. So it's basically plays that people know and like and want to read together. That's pretty easy to incorporate. The productions, we actually have a proposal process. So in March, we'll be calling for proposals for next year's main stage shows and having directors say come to us and say, I want to do this play, here's why, here's what I would need to do it, and we'll pick one to do from there. And most likely, our other production next year will be another festival, Dionysia, which is a one-act play festival, meaning we can do 6 plays with 6 directors instead of just one.
When you do the readings, I want to go back to the readings because we're quite interested in them. Do you have a director? Do you interrupt in the readings if someone is just reading, presenting a character in a very flat, unemotional way?
That doesn't happen very much.
Okay, that wouldn't happen.
Most people get really into it.
Yeah, if anything, it's the other end of the spectrum where we have Cockney accents for no reason.
I see.
Yeah, people just love to play around with doing the voices for characters.
Do people know, like, the week before we're going to be doing this play, and so
yeah.
They...
We have
read it over. Or so
we
forth?
Have a newsletter that we send out every 2 weeks, and is always included is the schedule for the play readings. We always tell when the next one's coming up.
Events are themselves very informal because we usually just have people drop in and read the play with us for the first time. So someone will be half the way through a speech and realize that their character is emitting something that totally changes it, and they'll be like, "What? What is happening?" And then we have to deal with it. So it's fun that way because it doesn't require a lot of preparation, although people can read the play in advance. And a lot of them will go home and read the play again or finish reading the play if we have a long play because they've been introduced to it now.
Let me then ask this question, and it may be terribly simple. What are people getting out of this experience other than performing, which I think is very important? But what else are they learning from just the play readings now? We'll put the productions aside for a minute. What are they learning?
Well, they really just get to know other people in the club because, like I said, we don't have regular meetings. So coming to a play reading, it gives you a chance to interact with other members of the club, to find out about other opportunities that the club has, as well as learning some, you know, tips and tricks of performing, learning about another script. And we also usually have an exec member or just a club member lead the play readings. If they have some experience or some background in it, then it's also interesting when we give, like, historical context or, you know, just some other information surrounding the play. So it's not just, you know, you're learning to act, you're learning to, like, read emotionally, but you're also just learning some, you know, not random, but, like, you know, definitely some interesting information just about the scripts that we choose.
Yeah, and a lot of the plays that we choose are plays where we have someone leading the reading who's been in the play, which always is fun. And I think the thing about play readings is that they bring all the good things about theater that builds community without the difficulty that comes with having to commit to doing a BFA program or even a production with us, which is time intensive. So it makes it more accessible for more people. It makes the good things about theater accessible for as many people as possible.
Now, do you do big plays, long plays, just in the readings? Would you do King Lear, for example, which I could hardly imagine you would do in an afternoon, and therefore it would take, say, 3 sessions to do it properly?
We do some long plays, but sometimes we don't finish them if they're long, and then people will go home and read them to the end because they want to know what happens. It's interesting that you bring up King Lear because we actually do scenes from Shakespeare. We've done a few Shakespeare readings, and the plays are so long and the text is so dense that we have to keep stopping and making sure that everybody knows what's going on, because that's one of the great things about a reading is that you have people to help you right there and talk about it, and it doesn't feel like school. But what we do with Shakespeare, because people know the plays and they know certain plays and love certain parts of them, we take our favorite scenes from Shakespeare and we read just, you know, 5-page chunks so that it's more digestible and we're not stuck here for 3 hours.
And that way, when you're reading someone like Shakespeare, like, you get a whole variety, because Shakespeare did write, like, a variety of plays, so it's not like you're just committing to one play. Like, you're not just going to read King Lear. You're going to get some comedy. You're going to get some tragedy. You're going to get some history. So it's just a good way to broaden your horizons as well.
Yeah, and sometimes we just pick the most hilarious parts and read those.
Why not? I mean, I should think so. So, again, still staying with readings, do you try to do themes? We're going to do 2 Canadian plays this term, or we're going to do just comedy, or is it a little more, shall I say, disorganized? Free form.
Free form is a good way to put it. I think we want to benefit from the freedom that we have in this format. So I think if there's nothing else in particular, we do pick a lot of Canadian plays. We pick plays that we know and plays that we like. And we think about what kinds of plays people enjoy more, and usually comedies are a little easier. Plays with larger casts are usually good because more people get a chance to read and we don't have to switch parts around so much. So things like that we keep in mind, but really it's anything.
How about assigning roles? I walk in and I haven't ever been to, you know, I've never been a member before, and I see that you're going to do a Noel Coward play. And I think I am really suited to play one of the debonair men, all right, in Private Lives. It's a small cast. But you think I'd be much better in the role of the ingenue young woman. Who makes those decisions? Or do I say, no, I really think I should be X?
Well, if there's someone else who wants that role, then you really just need to sword fight with them to the death. Whoever, you know, comes out on top is the one who gets the role.
Not with real swords.
Of course, no.
For the record.
Oh, no. We have props.
Oh,
we're a theater
company.
I'm
so disappointed. Right. Yeah. But this brings up an interesting point. Do you ever have people from the theater program who actually come in, and maybe they're in the BFA program or the director's program, to give you tips, to give everyone tips about how to perform, how to play this particular character?
We do have students come in from the theater department to participate. Actually, Keenan is a BA theater, which
yes.
is different from a BFA.
Hmm. I study theater, and I'm also going to be directing later this year. But we get we get a lot of students who are also in the theater department, just because, you know, they're looking for more experience, more work to do, just because they love it. But we do get a mix of people who aren't in theater, or people who are interested in theater, people who want to try theater for the first time, or people who did theater in high school and want to keep doing it. It's a really good mix. In terms of having people in the theater department really helps if they're experienced, and they can help out in productions.
Yeah, especially the technical theater production BFAs are a huge help to us, because a lot of people have experience acting in some capacity or another, but the production side of it requires more training. So we have quite a few technical BFAs with us, and that's amazingly great and helpful. Fewer performance BFAs, they do come in, they just kind of are there. Mm-hmm. Like, we have one performance BFA right now who's directing a short play with us. So they do. It's good for them also to be able to have a chance to step outside what they normally do. And we have mm-hmm. Scott, too, right? He's a production BFA who's going to act with us this term, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
How do people learn about the Players Club, or how is it promoted? I can't recall anyone coming to one of my courses in the English department saying, do you mind if I just stand up for a second and tell students about the Players Club? How do people learn about it?
Well, we do that. We don't do that in every single class, but we usually come to acting classes, theater classes, classes in drama, depending on what classes the exec is taking and people involved in the club are taking, and they want to make announcements about it. We also have a website, a Facebook page, Twitter. People come to us from all sorts of venues. A lot of them just hear about us from someone else who has worked with us.
word of mouth is definitely our primary source of promotion, and we definitely use, like Carolyn said, our website and our Facebook page, our Twitter, all that stuff. We primarily use that to promote our main stage productions, which are happening. So the play readings and all the other events that the club does, that's really promoted to our members through our newsletter and through club stays. Sometimes we set up booths to promote the shows, and like we'll talk about other things that the club is doing. So we definitely have that. We promote our shows quite heavily, and then the promotion of the club events is sort of just branches off of that.
Yeah, and people come to our shows and they realize that we're not just a theater company, we are also a student club. So it, and it also feeds in, like, people start coming to our play readings and then they want to come see the show. So it really helps that way.
Now, I believe there's a spring production.
There is. We are doing a production called Festival Dionysia. Like Carolyn mentioned before, it is a short one-act festival. This term, this year, we are featuring 6 plays. Four of them are actually student-written plays, and 2 of them are published works. And that is going to be going up in the Dorothy Somerset Studios from February 26th to March 2nd. And right now we're just right in the middle of rehearsals and getting things really underway before we go off for reading break, because we do open the week after.
So that's the big production.
That is, yeah. That's the one main stage that we are doing for this term.
Is there any thought to putting together, perhaps in the form of a pamphlet, an actual written history of the Players Club, which would coincide with the centennial?
There will probably be some sort of publication like that when we do the centennial. There are resources online about the history of theater in UBC and tons of archival materials and things like that. So they're always popping up in relatively decentralized ways. And one of the things we'd like to do is consolidate that for the actual event we're planning.
Okay, that sounds fabulous. But going to now the production or productions that you've done, I noticed on the website a rather excellent video. little excerpts from Never the Sinner. Do you ever envision that some of the productions would be available online, or excerpts from productions, so that more can learn about not just the club, but, you know, kind of theater at UBC in the broadest sense of the word?
Well, the video that you're referencing from last term, from Never the Sinner, that was directed by Paul Weston and his assistant director, Suman Park. They both happen to be film production students, so they decided to, you know, take advantage of the resources that they had and, you know, use that as additional promotion for their play. So that was for Never the Sinner, but I don't think that we've actually really considered doing more of that in the future. It's really just if we have the resources that come up, and if someone promotes it and they're really enthusiastic about it, then, you know, why wouldn't we consider that? Because it's just another avenue of promotion, another way to get the word out about the club.
One of our limitations is that we are a theater company, though. I mean, we're not going to switch over to making films. And the obstacle we had with Never the Sinner, or the thing that forced us to be a little bit creative with that trailer, was that as many plays that aren't in the public domain do, when we signed the contract to pay for the rights to perform the show, we had to promise not to make any recordings of the script. So if you look at that video carefully, there's nothing in the actual play in it. There's just actors talking about the play, there's actors gesticulating, but it's nothing that's actually part of that script, because we are not allowed to make recordings of it. So that does create some limitations when we want to be able to make promotional materials for online, because our world is so online today, and it does limit the people that can see it. But it is part of what makes theater so special, is that you have to go there in person and see it to really get the experience.
Well, I thought it was extremely effective, and largely because there were those informal remarks by the actors and I think the director, and it's going backstage, and I think people are fascinated with the backstage. And so possibly, you know, in the future, one might anticipate you could do a few more of these promotional items, because it's very important for the person playing a particular role to be able to relax and talk about their view of that particular role, that character that they're playing.
Yeah, we absolutely love to be able to shoot those types of trailers, and we did one for Our Country's Good the year before as well. Like Jason said, it depends on how many film production students we have involved, usually, or people who know how to make videos and can provide those resources for us.
So, finally, I want to ask each one of you, if you see a career in the theater for yourself, or in fact you're actually, and you hesitated to say this, Jason, but you're actually majoring in electrical engineering.
Close.
Yeah, you're actually very close.
Oh, I see.
Actually, yeah, one of the things that's great about the Players Club is that it's not just for theater students. It's for students from all faculties, whatever they're studying, to come and enjoy theater. I was an avid theater company member in my high school, but I am actually in the Faculty of Science. I am majoring in biology and forms of biology, so this is really my theater fix in university, because I wasn't about to just, you know, let that passion go. So I don't necessarily see myself pursuing theater as a career. It is a passion of mine, and so being able to work with the Players Club is just a way for me to still exercise that passion, but also, you know, build on my other interests, which I plan to make my career.
Wonderful. Carolyn?
For me, I'd say I didn't go into this thinking about theater as my career field. I am an arts major. I study English literature, so it is not as far as a gap between that and biology. But coming into it from the admin side of things and being part of the executive, it's really taught me a lot about how theater operates from behind the scenes, from a production perspective, which I think even if I don't end up going into that side of theater, which I didn't know just from being in plays in high school, it's a lot of skills that will carry over to almost anything, because what we're doing is we're planning these huge scale, really complex, delicate events to share with the public and bring people together and make community connections. So it's super valuable for what it is, and being part of this club has made me want to do more of that type of thing, whether that's in theater, which it definitely could be, or even in elsewhere.
Keenan.
Yeah, for me, I'm actually the only theater student on the exec.
Right now.
Currently, yeah. Yes. So I am intending to pursue a career in theater or film, at least as an actor. But being part of the club and on the exec has definitely given some new experience, some new skills that could be very useful for me in the future, depending on where my career path goes, because as an actor it's very uncertain. For those who are in theater, this is, you know, experience that will help them that can help them in the future. But for people who aren't in theater, who want to do this just because they love it, like as a, I guess, what did I say, hobby or?
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'd be people who would still, you know, people would still, you know, probably want to do that on the side in the future. As someone from science.
Variety.
Yeah, a huge variety of students from different faculties. So honestly, yeah, who knows what they might go on to do in the future. We have some engineering students who are members now, and apparently that's pretty new for us.
Well, I've never met any members who are engineers before, so that was exciting. I do want to say, like, when the Players Club was founded in 1915, there was no theater department. What happened is the Players Club sort of evolved into the theater department, and then the club itself was dormant for several years and came back as a separate entity. So now that there is a theater department that's training theater artists, that's training future professional theater artists, our role as a club is different, and it's really important that we do have students from engineering, from science, from arts, from business. I'm not sure if we have members from other faculties like forestry and HKIN, probably. They can be from anywhere, and theater is something that a lot of us develop a passion for, especially in high school, and then there's just no outlet for it. So one of the most important things we do is provide that outlet that people don't get from their regular lives, from their full-time course of study, to be involved in theater. And, you know, people like Keenan, who are still studying theater, get to do things that they don't do in their main course of study. They get to explore other aspects, like the production aspect, or performers get to be designers, and designers get to be performers.
So I want to thank Carolyn, Jason, and Keenan, who joined me this evening on UBC Arts on Air. And don't forget their staged readings of so many plays and their forthcoming production at the end of February. And stay tuned for future broadcasts to include a historian of Soviet Russia and a student of dictionaries. Thank you.